it's a pleasure to introduce the motivational cowboy, Johnny D.
Everybody done coughing and going to the bathroom? Hey, it's me. It's Johnny D, the motivational cowboy, with this week's Outstanding Life podcast. And in the house with me right now, we have Joshua Spears. We have Paul Long downstairs in the control room. And on the phone, we have Bill and Dawn York. What's up, guys?
Hey, Johnny. How you doing?
I am absolutely outstanding. It has been about 7 months since I talked to you last, Bill. And man, the reason why I called is because I want a recap of what has been going on in the last year that you had this incredible foundation, Strengthening Lives with Love. And I want you to just recap exactly why and how this organization got started.
Sure, Johnny. We started back in August of 2018 after we lost our son Joshua to suicide in July of 2018. So the first goal was just to memorialize him with some scholarships at his high school. And we just found that our message was resonating and we wanted to do more. So we created the foundation, Joshua York Legacy Foundation, to educate, to outreach and raise awareness. And hopefully the long run goal is to change mental health accessibility.
That is awesome. And you know what's so cool is I just read when we discussed doing the podcast, you just awarded four individuals scholarships at the school that he graduated from, totaling like $2,500. Is that correct?
That's correct. We were just going to do one, but our fundraising went so well this year that being at the first year and the essays that came back, we just decided that we wanted to do more. My wife had a great idea to attach each one to someone who had passed. So we did it for my son and the security resource officer that had taken his life last fall at his school. And then unfortunately, when my wife went to that same school, she had two friends that also passed through suicide. So we attached all four of their names to the scholarships.
Bill, it's great to have you back on the podcast, but this is the first time that Dawn, you are on the podcast. Dawn, I got to ask you, what's it like for you to one, lose a son, but to know that all this great stuff is happening and you've done it in a year's time?
Well, I guess it's kind of bittersweet. I feel, although we lost Josh physically to suicide, I still feel close to him. I still feel like he's here. In fact, we just celebrated his birthday. It was the 26th of June. We had a party for him Saturday. I had the mindset and shared my mindset to try to spread it that, this party, Josh is at this party. So, we toasted him. It was his 21st birthday. We sent up a Chinese lantern, memorial lantern. Everybody signed it. It was really very moving and beautiful. And it was the only time that, I got overly emotional. But, I focused on the happy because, he had such an impact on everyone and his life is worth celebrating.
Yeah. Dawn, what is I'm just going to put you on the spot here. What is one of the funniest stories that you remember about Joshua? Because I know you have a bunch of them.
I do. Probably the funniest one that I love sharing is when he was in first grade. So he was five when he came into my life because his father came,
Right.
He started dating, although I knew Bill a lot longer. But so he was five. Then the following year, he was in first grade, and he was having a Christmas party. They were building gingerbread houses, and his mother, Lori, and I both went. So, Josh liked to tell his friends he had two moms, and his best friend had two moms, two lesbian moms, as a couple. So, he and his best friend, he says, you don't have two moms. I do. So here we both are at this Christmas party and I lean in and I'm trying to help him with something. And he looks over and he says, See, I told you I had two moms.
I love it. Bill, they say behind every great man that there's a better woman. And it seems like you found your better half, literally.
Dawn, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. No, and Dawn, I'm sure you agree. But Dawn, how tough is it for you to I know that it probably doesn't take a lot to motivate and inspire Bill, but you sometimes have to pick up the pieces and inspire him. How tough is that for you?
Or is inspiring there,
or, him? Or is it pretty easy to kick him in the butt once in a while?
that's always been pretty easy. But honestly, you know, to be fair, you know, I definitely feel that it's easy to inspire him. I'm definitely an idea person. But I think Bill's fortitude is a little stronger than mine. So, you know, all I had to do was say, I need to do something. I came down from the shower. I think it was just maybe 2 days, 3 days within the first week after Josh passing. And, you know, I just had to find something to pull myself out of the rut. And, you know, I'm like, we have to do something positive. I have to have something to work towards that's positive, you know. And I was thinking maybe we could do a scholarship at Eastern Tech, you know, in his memory, you know. And that was really all it was. But then the more that we talked about it, you know, everybody came up with ideas. And Bill's the kind of guy that if you provide him the support that he needs, he will take your dreams and do everything he can do to make them come true.
It sounds like you're you're just like me. I can see A, I can see Z, but I don't know nothing about the middle. And it sounds like Bill is the person to put all those pieces together to get to that, to the end.
He's the energy behind it.
Yeah.
I'd say I give him the whole plan.
she's the muse. I'm the energy. And Josh, our son's husband, he's the inner workings that really
makes it happen.
He makes it happen.
He gets the word out and knows how people think.
That intimate work, like the webpage and, you know, the Angel Project that we created last week, that was all him. You know, he is the technical guy. I'm just the guy who runs out and runs in every direction and makes people follow me.
Well, I can't thank both of you enough for what you have done. I want to ask, you guys have this, the Suicide Prevention Rocks. Whose idea was it and how's that going? Bill, I know we talked about it last time you were on the podcast.
Yeah. So the idea was, again, all Dawn's. Yeah. She was looking, you know, she's the analytical mind. She was looking for ways to help our children heal. And I'll let you take it from
there. Yeah. I was going to say, Dawn, come on. I want to hear where you got the inspiration from.
Well, real quick, recap for the guests.
This is Joshua Spears.
Yeah, just recap for the guests. What is Suicide Prevention Rocks? For people who may not know, listeners who haven't heard the last one.
Yeah, so Suicide Prevention Rocks is on our Facebook page. It's a subgroup to the page. It is where we paint positive messages on rocks and leave them in the community. And I'll let Dawn tell the backstory, and then I'll tell you where we ended up.
Awesome.
Well, the simple backstory is we were doing all these things, you know, we were sharing memories, dropping stones in a vase of water, you know, trying to get our kids to talk because our 13-year-old was really having a difficult time even talking and getting past her anger in the situation. So, you know, that was what her crutch became, anger, to get past being emotional, and she just shut down. So this was a way of getting her to talk, and she loves anything art. So one of the things we did once we started getting her talking with the rocks, the dropping just plain stones into a vase, then I thought, why not paint the rocks? She likes, you know, art. So we had painted rocks back, I think, 2017, about 9 months prior to Josh's passing. In the fall, we were down in Ocean City and they had a rock painting community group thing. It was free, but it was at the Ocean City Art League. So they had some experience with that. And I just thought, why not make the rocks about Josh and about positive messages to make a difference in someone's life, to memorialize him, you know, to talk about him while we're painting and that kind of thing. So it was a hit. I mean, it really worked for the kids. And I found all of these exercises helped both Bill and myself as well. So it was another one of those moments. I was probably in the shower again. Who knows? I came out and I'm like, you know, I want to create a group and on the Facebook page, and I want to make it for painting rocks and sharing those painted rocks, you know, whether they're memorial rocks, they're just positive. They say, you know, you matter. And also there was the ellipsis. I wanted to make part of that as well, because I don't know if Bill shared that story with you or not, but, you know, as we were all coming together and trying to heal, you know, everybody was talking about the semicolon tattoo, getting a semicolon tattoo, you know, for the semicolon project, your story isn't over yet. So, you know, I was talking to one of Josh's close friends, Andrew, you know, and he was saying he wanted to get a semicolon. And I thought, you know, it's a really nice idea, but I don't feel that the semicolon works for us because, you know, Josh's life story is over. You know, and that, of course, made me cry just saying those words. But then I thought, you know, but we're continuing it. You know, we're continuing it through what we're trying to do, you know, our and it was a commit. And so I thought, you know, that's an ellipsis. That's for all the things that were unsaid, because an ellipsis is used. That's the three dots.
Yep.
Like three periods in a row. So what that's used for is words that are omitted, that are left out. To be continued at the end of, you know, a trailing statement. And I just thought that's perfect. That's the perfect representation. So like, a lot of the rocks that we paint include that ellipsis. And that's why the J has the ellipsis at the end as part of our logo.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So let me ask, do you both paint the rocks, or now do you have a group of people to paint these rocks for you?
I'll let Bill answer that one.
So, yeah, John, when last time we talked, I think we had about 4,000 people in our group in probably about 26 states across the U.S. and a number of countries outside the U.S. In the last 6-7 months, we've added 8,000 members. About 10,000 of those are in the U.S. in every single state. We're now up to 57 countries outside the U.S. On every populated continent. And all of those people have joined us to paint rocks for suicide prevention and put them out in their own communities. It's now a global movement, and it grows on average about 100 people a day. Today we're sitting at 12,340 plus members all across the world. And it's just, you know, we still paint them.
We had two rock painting tables for his birthday party Saturdays.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
And I take them out to community events, to high schools, to colleges, anybody that I can reach. It's a good way, you know, to get the kids painting rocks. Most of the time the parents will, you know, inquire about it just like you did. And then it opens up the conversation.
That is so cool. So how can people get involved in rock painting for our communities?
So it's as simple as, you know, they can join a local rock group. There are plenty of rock groups across America, over 4,000. I'm looking at an account, not catalog all of them. those 4,000 plus rock groups reach over 7 million people around the world every day. If you join a local one, they do like kindness rocks most of the time. So they're themed day to day, week to week. We're only one of four rock groups in the world that do suicide prevention only. And we're by far the largest. Every other group is below 2,000 members. So it's just going out to Facebook and looking up suicide prevention rocks, or going out to Google and
we are looking for ways to bring suicide prevention rocks to the other states, across the states at least, but you know, one of the things that we're looking to do, we've already started to do, is to create, we're working with Active Minds, which has groups, student groups in colleges and high schools across the United States. We're looking to change the conversation around mental health. So part of that, you know, Suicide Prevention Rocks fits right in with that. And it's a way to, and like Bill said, open to start the conversation. So,
you know, what's so cool is 7 months ago, I never even heard about Suicide Prevention Rocks. And not too long ago, I was talking to Joshua Spears, and he's like, Johnny, I got this great story. And Joshua, I'm gonna let you start that story, because you met somebody
right
that had one of those rocks, and it to this day still helps them.
Right. So I met Bill. I was on the podcast last time, and I was at this event in the Detroit area, and I got talking to this woman, and she told me that she lost her son to suicide, and we were talking about that process and all these different things. Just, you know, that's something people talk to me about. So then she started talking about different things that she's doing now to help herself heal and find healing in this difficult spot. And she busted out this rock. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was this rock that she had found, and it was, had been painted. So now this woman in Detroit, now, and then she busts out this other rocks that she started showing me, all these different rocks that she's painted. So she found this rock, was inspired by it, and now she paints rocks, and she even showed me pictures on her phone of like this door that she's painted to memorialize her son. And so, I mean, the Facebook group is, it's really got an amazing reach, but what's so neat about it is the real world impact it has on people. You know, like with you, you guys started it because of the healing it provided your family. And that's what's so inspiring about it, is that it's helping people. It's growing like crazy, but it's really helping people. It's making a difference. I ran into this person in Detroit, and she is into rock painting to deal with suicide. It's such a small world.
Yeah. And Bill and Dawn, tell me if this is true. I know what it's like for me to grab some crayons or some markers and color in a kid's coloring book. That has got to have the same feeling, but then you add your son's, you know, legacy behind it. And it's got to feel even better.
Yeah, it's just another form of art therapy.
Yeah.
And you pour whenever you create art, and I'm not an artist myself, but you know, I'm amazed sometimes as what comes out on the rock and you know, how satisfied I am with it. But it's all the emotion you're pouring into it, because it's art. You know, art's in the eyes of a beholder. Nothing you put on a stone is wrong or terrible. It can be as simple as a one letter or one word or a whole beautiful, incredible, you know,
and sometimes there, you know, I've actually painted rocks for myself, you know, speaking of art therapy, I've painted some rocks that were pretty sad, sadly beautiful. You know, I was satisfied with it because that was how I was feeling at the time. It's not necessarily something I'm going to give out because it was for me, but, you know, however you're feeling, you know, you can pour that out into art, and it doesn't have to be rock painting, but rock painting is so simple. You know, the materials are so easy to find, and you can just use Sharpies, you know, right. It doesn't take a whole lot of money to do.
So yeah, Bill, you told me a story, and I want you to share this, because this is flipping awesome. And that was, somebody took one of your rocks to Colorado.
Right. So somebody in Colorado found us. We have a lot of followers around Denver. Somebody painted their own rock for Josh. It was like a water scene, because he loved the beach. And they hiked up a place called Red Rock Canyon.
Yeah, a great place. I've been there many times.
So evidently there's an overlook called Angel View or Angel Overlook, something like that. And that's where they dropped the rock. And this was back, I want to say it was around December, late November. Within 3 hours, that rock was picked up by another hiker and taken up to the next overlook. And both of those people posted on our webpage about the movement, which was pretty cool back then.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
About 2 weeks ago, that rock showed up again. Somebody hiked up that trail, found the rock, and they're from Florida. So they posted that they were taking it back to Florida to pass it on.
Man, that is so sweet. Something else that you guys have done since the last time we spoke was, Joshua, you went down there and you spoke to a bunch of schools down there and talked about suicide prevention. Over 5,000 kids, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell us what that was like.
Well, obviously, Bill's organization has, you know, a lot of influence in that area. And, you know, they brought me down there and we had, you know, 8 presentations in the course of 4 days in front of, as Bill, you know, said, 5,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really an amazing opportunity to share, you know, to really, you know, about opening up the lines of communication and helping people realize that they're not alone. And, you know, one thing that Bill and I have talked about in the past is how the rocks is so therapeutic, but it also, and you mentioned it earlier, Bill, it also opens up the line of communication. It gets people talking about it. And that's really, you know, having, when I went down there, that was the goal of all the talks that we did, was to open up the lines of communication. I don't know if you have anything to say about that week, Bill. That was a pretty fun week, wasn't it?
It was an amazing week, especially since two of the schools that we are able to get Josh into had experienced suicides within the school within 1 week of each other. So, you know, just being able to help those students and teachers heal through his presentation was just an incredible feeling. And after each presentation, we had a dozen students at every school come up and talk to either Josh or I. And, you know, so we made good contacts there.
How and it really was also very inspiring to some of the students, because we had, particularly at Eastern, that's the only reason that we know this is because of the essays we received for the scholarship application. You know, some of the stories in there, you know, the how Josh's presentation helped to motivate them to do, you know, things their own way, in their own way, to reach out to others and be more accepting. Yeah, it was really amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, Josh and I talk about this all the time. You know, you just never know how what you do is going to impact somebody and affect the future. And that week was a real high. And it was, you know, it was probably the largest thing at that point that we had done as a foundation. And, you know, to hit those 5,000 people were, it was just an amazing week. And Josh and I got, and our families got to meet each other. It was wonderful.
I want to make sure that everybody knows too, how and what your website is. And that is www.joshuayorkfoundation.org. And I encourage everybody to get involved and even make a donation. And we're going to get into that and how people can donate and get involved.
Yeah. So you can actually go out to the website. Now we have, a volunteer form that people can fill in. We've just kicked off an angel roll call. Josh, the other founder, put this together, and it's to memorialize those that we've lost. We hope to, much like the collection of names of the Vietnam War Memorial and or 9/11, is to collect those names, and at some point in the future, create a national memorial, you know, probably 5 or 10 years from now. But, you know, and we want to create a memorial somewhere in the U.S. that, you know, remembers all of them.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
All those family, you know, some place that you can come and realize, you know, you're not alone. We're not alone. We're in this together, and it's going to take all of us to change it.
Absolutely. And you know, the cool thing is too, you have raised over $40,000 in just about 10 months. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Plus we had, Google gave us $120,000 ad grant. So, it's been an amazing first year in, every way. And you know, now we have a monthly fundraiser event that, occurs on a regular basis that helps us generate a sustainable income so we can start planning as opposed to just going month to month.
Listen, I want you to talk about that too, because it's the drag show, and that is something that if that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I follow you guys, and I have to say that if I'm having one of those days and I'm sitting around and one of those videos pop up or a live feed pops up, I instantly get in a great mood. I mean, those shows seem so much fun. And now my daughter follows you guys. And that is something that you know, she loves to go to, the drag bingo and stuff like that. Talk a little bit about that and how it even started.
So it all started back in the fall when I was just trying to get started. I had a meeting at Points South Latin in Baltimore, which is a restaurant, and with AFSP and some other folks. And as we're sitting there, I overheard the maitre d' talking about doing fundraisers for BARC, which is an animal rescue of Baltimore City. And so I walked over and said, hey, I heard you having this conversation. Do you sponsor other nonprofits? And she said, yeah, what are you thinking? So I told her, and she's like, let's pick a date. So we picked a date. I want to say that was in April, the first one. And Josh put it up on the internet, just advertising. You know, it was free tickets that time, and it was just to try to raise a little bit of money. Points South Latin was gracious enough to give us 10% of the proceeds of the night. And it ended up, there was about 140 seats available. We had 160 people actually ask for free tickets before we had to cut it off, and had over 2,000 people wanting to come, over 2,000, with no space to put them.
That's so crazy.
By the time we walked into this place, you know, I went up to the owner and I said, hey, look, we got over 2,000 people that want to come. How about giving us another date? Well, we're thinking about Mother's Day. So we set up a Mother's Day brunch for mother, or dinner for mothers, sold that thing out. And when we went into that one, I said, hey, you know, we got this other date in June that you gave us. How about you give us a date every single month, because we can fill it. And they were like, you know, we love what you're doing. We love the impact you're having. We love supporting you. You got it. And so it's been this great relationship of just helping each other out and raising fantastic amounts of money for the foundation.
That's pretty cool. So let me ask you this. The people that are listening, if they have these kind of shows in their communities, because I know we do here in Detroit, can they go ahead and have a drag show or drag bingo, and then give the proceeds to your organization?
They can. And one of the things we'd have to do is we'd have to, you know, it would be a process. So the first process would be that they contact us. The next thing we would have to do, if they were going to do it specifically for us, with us being represented in any way there, is for us to just file a certificate of authority in the state allowing us to fundraise. But if they're doing it through any other nonprofit organization, or the theater group that does their show, if they want to donate, or the restaurant wants to donate, we don't even have to be involved. They can do it and let us know, so we can put it on our website and give them credit for it. And then they can make the donation to us.
Awesome.
Hey, Bill, you've talked a lot. We got a lot of awesome stuff about all the fundraising, and you guys your organization has been growing exponentially. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in nonprofits who are listening, thinking, man, I wish mine grew that fast. But just to kind of circle back with the whole suicide prevention piece, maybe just take a minute and, you know, we've heard about your son and what drives you, but the mission of your organization, and then some of the things that you have coming up that you're doing to strengthen lives with love and, you know, open the lines of communication, and just some of your plans. So if we have listeners who are considering donating and they want to participate with you financially, they can see where you're going with what you have.
Sure, absolutely. So our mission statement is pretty simple and straightforward. It's to increase suicide awareness and prevention through outreach, education, and healthcare improvement, mental healthcare accessibility. So, you know, education and outreach, we do that every single day wherever we go, on it via our Facebook page. You know, we're out there having the conversations. As a matter of fact, I was telling Johnny yesterday, I provided a little information at a wake after a funeral for someone who had lost their son 2 weeks ago.
Bill, go ahead and tell that story. I mean, just go ahead. I mean, let's stop there, because it is a pretty awesome story that you literally stop what you're doing.
Yeah. And so, well, most people, well, you know, but I used to, I'm a CPA. I used to work for the federal government, Department of the Army, after I retired from the Air Force as an accountant. And I was working a lot of overtime when Josh passed. So I had a lot of time saved up, and I took that time off. But as I tried to go back to work, I found it impossible to find purpose to doing accounting. So I actually quit my federal job about 9 months before I was eligible for vesting in my retirement with the government. I took a job teaching Baltimore City High School students, junior ROTC, which has been, you know, wonderful for me because I'm getting to mentor young and in many ways troubled youth. About 2 weeks ago, I got a call about 7 o'clock at night from one of my students who proceeded to tell me that his older brother, 32 years old, took his life, and him and his mother were the first responders. So, yeah, we had just finished up dinner, and Donna Tay, I walked in. I'm like, I got to go, babe. And, you know, she says, what's going on? And I told her, and so she helped me gather some things, some information, and yeah, I drove about 35 minutes over to his house and sat with him and his sister for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and talked about the challenges that they had ahead, gave him some information. Maryland's got this wonderful pro bono counseling service that we Dawn was able to connect with. And so I gave him information on that and encouraged him to seek mental health care because those two being the first responders that are at a higher risk in the near future. And as I was leaving, he said, you know, if you can, could you come to the funeral? I said, John, I'll do anything I can for you. Yeah, for your family, you know, that's why I do what I do. And so, you know, they got back to me, gave me the date and the location. And then yesterday morning, about an hour and a half, 2 hours before I was headed out to the event, the father called me and just asked if I would talk about the foundation and talk about what we're doing and, you know, give some words in honor of his son. So that's what I did. You know, about 5 minutes, just talked about how blessed I was to be there and how every single person there should take the time to connect or reconnect with their family, recognize how they're feeling, and if need be, to, you know, take action to make sure they were all headed in the right direction. And I handed out our bracelets and Lifesaver wallet cards, you know, and it was very well received. And in fact, the father at the end, asked me, you know, how can I help you? You know, and I told him, yeah, let's start in your local community. You find the venues to talk to and we'll make it work. So, you know, he was, the whole family was very appreciative. It was a wonderful moment.
That is incredible. And I noticed a big thing too, that you're doing, and people can fundraise. Facebook is now putting, you know, fundraisers on like your birthday, and you can raise $100 or $200 or $500. Well, you guys are doing that now too, right?
Yes, we are. And I can tell you, that's probably the, second most viable fundraiser for us recently, because, you know, it's one, it's a personal call to action from individuals, some that we know, some that we've never met before, and they're dedicating their birthday wish to, you know, help prevent suicide, and asking friends and family, their Facebook connections, to assist them in that. And, you know, whether it's $100 or $500 or $1,000 in nonprofit work, every dollar is critical. And for us, it's super critical because we have programs that are just waiting to be rolled out, and we just don't have the funds to make that happen yet. So it's really critical, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful way to raise money.
So they can go to your website directly. You also have a PO box, correct?
Correct.
Go ahead.
PO box 66, and that's on the website.
Okay, perfect. And then you're doing something with the United Way, right?
Yeah. So, you know, most people in the federal government and the military know the United Way through, their annual combined federal campaign. United Way also reaches out annually to major corporations and looks to raise funds for all nonprofit organizations of an individual's choice through payroll deduction. So it's not an easy process to get listed with them, but back in January, we were able to get listed with United Way. So this fall, when they do their campaign, we'll be in their book with our own unique number. And all you got to do is look for us and put a number in, and whether it's, you know, $1 a pay period, or, you know, $100 a pay period, that money will go right through you, United Way, and right into our checkbook so that we can manage the programs. The beauty of that is if we can get people to donate through that process, again, it's a consistent, sustainable income that we can use to plan for the next year.
Man, that's incredible. And you guys are doing incredible things. Guys, I want to jump back into stories about Joshua. And I want you to talk about his first grade or his first girlfriend. And I think it turned out in middle school or something like that you were talking about.
Yeah, so after he passed, you know, I think I told you last time I joined, went to his Facebook page and friended every single person he had. Probably half of those never responded, which is cool. But the ones that did respond, we've just gained an incredible insight of his life as he knew it. And one of those, just a couple weeks ago, was his first girlfriend who reached out and said, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to finally reach out to you. You know, I don't know that you probably knew me, but I was Josh's first girlfriend in middle school." And funny enough, it turns out that we were both gay. And
wait, back up. Say that again. I just want to make sure I heard that right.
I think you heard it right. It was a twist of fate that, you know, she ended up being a lesbian, and of course he was gay. And so, you know, here they were, probably, you know, very tied in to each other emotionally because they had the same struggles.
Right. And they understood each other.
Exactly.
Yes.
So she ended up, she graduated this past year. She's working, healthcare administration, and she is working towards her PhD in clinical mental health, and has indicated that she wants to help us for the foreseeable future any way she can.
Oh man. Hey guys, I know this is kind of a funny story, but that is, it sounds like Joshua is just a fun guy. Talk about, him signing, Colleen's crack.
You already did.
So Colleen, another middle school friend who reached out to me and got me into a local, college, both with the Suicide Prevention Rocks and as a speaker. She's a senior next year, up and coming senior. So when they were in middle school, at the end of their middle school, they all got their yearbooks and, you know, passing around, and Josh came up to her and, you know, giggling, saying, "Hey, Colleen, I signed your crack." And she's like, "Huh?" And he says, look. So she opened up her book and she had signed down the crack of the spine of the book in small letters.
Oh my God, that is so funny. Oh, so, you know, getting back to, you know, being able to fundraise and stuff like that, what are some of the other ways that you guys are looking to fundraise?
Excuse me. So part of the angel roll call, if someone goes on there and they want to donate, that opportunity does come up, but it is free. I want to make that clear for anybody to upload a picture and a brief bio on a lost loved one.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Now, are you going to start having other chapters around the country?
We are looking for a pro bono lawyer currently.
Nonprofit
lawyer, but pro bono preferably, or at least a deep discount, to help us draw up the chapter charters. We have people in five or six states now that are, you know, basically ask us as frequently as they contact us that they would like to open up a chapter and do our work. As a matter of fact, we brought in Ann Camacho, who's in California. She has been a mainstay with us since day one for Suicide Prevention Rocks, and she is a admin for the group, very active. And, you know, we'd like to get one started out where she's at, outside of San Francisco, Stockton area. So, you know, it's just a matter of expanding. And all that, Dawn has done a lot of work into what those chapters, what we want them to look like. So, you know, I'll let her talk for a little bit.
Well, basically, they would be a reflection of the original, of what we're doing now. You know, mirroring the fundraiser, scholarship, education, outreach, mental health accessibility. One of the main things that we want to do is try to mirror the pro bono counseling project that's here in Maryland to make mental health care accessible to anyone and everyone who needs it. It's a really strong model. They've been around for, I think, 20 years. they're, you know, are very successful. Everyone that we talk to in the area, you know, about it, that like mental health care clinicians, most everyone already belongs to it. They've got over 700 active patients, I guess you could call them. They're actually patients of the pro bono clinicians, which are all over the place. And so they do like an interview process to match you up with the right provider. And, you know, if you have any difficulty talking to them, they can also switch you around. So, and it is a clinician who does that intake process, that interview to match you up with the right person. If you have difficulty with travel, you know, getting to them, they provide travel as well. So, you know, basically it was amazing. Josh actually, Josh's husband, our son-in-law, is the one who made this contact and got us hooked up, because this is my avenue. So, in talking to them, you know, I just shared our story and why we started everything and how we took Josh's life and wanted to, you know, our mission is based on Josh's life and his struggles with mental health. So, you know, where were the gaps and how can we fill them? So one of them was travel. You know, when he was at college, trying to find someone that fit, you know, a good fit, someone he would feel comfortable talking to. And then he had to take an Uber ride just to get there, you know, 20 minutes each way. So, you know, a lot of things we don't really think about that are much more difficult for students or for people who don't have insurance or, you know, don't want, like, people in the military who don't want to go through the military for mental health services because of the stigma that is attached and, you know, the danger that provides to their jobs and stuff like that. So
let me tell you, Johnny, one of the things that Dawn found out is Maryland is the only state that we believe, based on what they told us, that has a nonprofit pro bono counseling for mental health. So They have the model.
That works.
They have the model. It's been working for 20, 25 years, and nobody else has been picking up on it. And, of course, they're busy giving the services. So we're partnering with them. We want to help them take their model and try to duplicate that in other states.
That's the biggest thing we want to do with the charters.
Bill and Dawn, that's an amazing program that you're talking about, and the mental health accessibility. Just for the listeners who may not be so to speak up to speed on those challenges that people have, as far as, because what you're talking about is basically Maryland has cracked the code to give people free mental health care and more, make it more accessible. Talk to people who may not know much about suicide prevention or mental health about what the challenges are for quote unquote normal people with mental health issues and what your organization, this is a key element of what you guys are working on. Just what are some of the challenges that people who aren't educated in this field might not know?
Well, I would tell you, first of all, it's just that there's help out there. You know, until you get hit with a loss, you really aren't, nobody's looking at it because the conversation is not public. So that's the first thing we want to do, is change that conversation to public so that we have less suicides, because people realize there's mental health care available to them and seek it out. And the second part is there's such a stigma with receiving mental health care that people avoid it. They don't want to talk to a counselor because of the stigma. Well, yeah, I'm here to tell you, 64 million Americans every year experience some form, whether it's temporary or permanent, of mental health issues every single year. 64 million of us.
Wow.
So it's like one in five, I think.
Yeah.
One in five. So if one in five of us are having the problem, don't you think we should be talking
about it? One in three for mental health.
One in three for mental health. So we should be talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing,
normalize the conversation.
There's that old thinking, and I'd love to hear your thoughts for our guests, because I was having a conversation recently about suicide with someone else, and they said, I disagree with them, but they said, well, I think that they should just not talk about suicide. And then, because once people talk about it, then more people do it because then they glamorize it. And we obviously know that's not true. But what's your comeback to that argument that some people make?
Not talking about cancer doesn't make it any less real.
Agreed.
Yep. That's so true. Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk to people and you start having that difficult, awkward conversation, which it can be to start off with, the first thing you can do is normalize that so that people understand that this isn't out of the norm. Mm-hmm. We're not alone. We're not alone having been affected by it. We're not alone having felt it, whether it's temporary or not. We're just not alone. And that's what we got to get to. There's plenty of research out there that's my granddaughter in the background. She just woke up. So there's plenty of information out there that tell you, you know, yes, I'll give you the fact that when someone who's big in the news takes her life, there's some following. And the reality is that maybe there wouldn't be following suicides if we were getting the people the right help,
right,
to the right counselors, to have the right conversations, to know that there's someone who can take care of them.
And I know that's a big thing that you want to do is have and develop public service announcements for TV.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a really good concept developed. We haven't shot the first TV video yet. But we do anticipate that will be coming probably in August, September frame time with the shooting, when it will be ready to be pushed out and what the cost, if any, associated with getting it out to the stations will be interesting to come across. I don't want to really give away the idea that we have, but I think it will be a PSA, public service announcement, that you won't turn off.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're just hoping we're making connections, and we're hoping that when the time is right, those connections pay off to get that stuff out there. As a matter of fact, you know, not only with you, but like tomorrow, I'm being interviewed again for the foundation from a local rock station. So, you know, we don't turn anything away. And then I'll tell you what, just as we were getting on this line, we got an amazing call from a local theater group. Who was calling to ask if we would be interested in supporting them. They're doing an original play based around suicide prevention. They want us to be there to talk with people after each acting of the play. And they want to talk to people who've been affected so that they can have real life stories incorporated into the work that they're doing. So, you know, every day something amazing happens, and that today was it.
I think you epitomize, Bill, you and your organization. If you get moving in the direction, you're going to find all kinds of people to join your efforts, like a theater group. I mean, that's just not something that you would think, but what they're doing, and you're a perfect resource. It's just so inspiring to see all these different things come together for you and your group and such an amazing cause.
You know, it's divinely sent is how I look at it. You know, I talk to Josh frequently in my own head and out loud, and you know, just like today, getting this call out of the blue. You know, we weren't actively looking for something. We've had conversations about that in the past, but we weren't at a place where we could actively look for it. But lo and behold, it comes to us, and we'll make room for it. That's what we do.
Bill, just the other day, I saw a post from you, and it was Joshua's birthday, and you found a couple pennies. Talk about that story and why that meant so much to you.
Yeah, so, you know, ever since Josh passed, whenever I've been having a difficult moment where I've got something challenging in front of me, I come across the penny, and in the strangest places, in my classrooms, on the, you know, just places where you wouldn't expect them. And it's always like the right moment. And so I was going to the store to pick up some things to set up for the party. and picked up an extra cornhole game and some lights to go in them so we could play into the evening. And as I pulled up to a stoplight, I was the first car and it turned red just as I got there. And I thought, I want to find out if I need any batteries for these lights. So I jumped out of my truck and started to head back to open the tailgate up so I could grab the light. And as I jumped out, I saw this tarnished penny there and, put a smile on my face. I ran back and grabbed the lights. And then as I was getting in the car, I saw another penny. So I picked it up and jumped in. And, it was just like, it was going to be a good day. It was going to be a good party because, he sent me two pennies in one day. And, I never really put it together, but, the reason for the pennies, I've known a lot of people who've lost people and certain denominations show up. But when Josh was little, we would call his nipples pennies because it was just a polite word,
Well, Bill, the reason why I asked about that is on Father's Day, just a little while ago, I was in the shower, and this true story, because I never understood the whole penny thing. And I was in the shower, and I was about halfway through the shower, and all of a sudden, literally a penny fell from heaven. Like, I've been taking a shower in the same place for 14 years in my house. All of a sudden, this penny fell on Father's Day. And like Dawn, I come up with ideas and I pray and stuff like that sometimes in the shower. And I was just talking to my dad saying, hey, Dad, you're still with me. I love you. And all of a sudden, this penny literally fell from the ceiling. It was the craziest thing. And at first it freaked me out because I was like, what just happened? And I didn't even want to look down, right? I knew it was a penny, but I was so freaked out. I'm like, who's here with me? Nobody. and all of a sudden, I read about, pennies falling from heaven. And it's like, when you're in a time of need, sometimes a penny will fall from heaven. And that's your angel telling you that you're going to have a good day. And so that story kind of reminds me of what just happened to me. And it was just kind of a cool moment.
That's an awesome story.
Yeah. Oh, Dawn, you're back. You're back. Good. Yeah. No, because I want to, Joshua has a question, and I know in our notes, he keeps showing me the number 5. About Joshua's stories. And, so Joshua, I know that you want to talk about number 5.
Yeah. There was a story about, he broke his femur water tubing.
Yeah.
So I knew that this was going to be a funny one. So it was like, Joshua kept like showing me like number 5.
Yeah. So he was 7, I think, when he broke his leg. That was a pretty rough moment actually. But so when he came home after his first surgery, with all the hardware in his femur, he came in and, he actually fell going from, I guess it's walker to the, bed we had set up for him in the living room.
He was very stubborn too. He would not let anybody help him.
He was light enough you could pick him up, but he's like, no, I got it. I can do this.
So who did he take after being stubborn? Bill, you or Dawn, you?
Bill,
see, the greatest thing, I could ask that question because I'm a far away from both of you right now.
Yeah. He was more like his father than he wanted to be, I think. So. But anyway, so when he fell, Anya was three, I think. She, oh my gosh, it was awful. So she broke down. She didn't hurt her, but she was so scared because her Joshy fell, and she just was inconsolable, breaking down, crying. Josh was just more concerned with Anya and getting her to calm down than anything else. He's like, I'm fine. It's okay, Anya. And he's, holding her and hugging her and not even giving a thought to, the fact that he had the broken leg and he just fell. but he's still sitting on the floor trying to console her, wouldn't let anybody help him.
And it seems like that's the way he lived his life though. Always worrying about others.
Yeah.
He definitely put others before himself.
Yeah.
And when she says broken leg, let's get it right. It was a femur snapped in half.
Compound fracture. Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill, for the graphics of now. I'm like holding my leg right now. It's like
he was amazing, though. I mean, he had an incredible tolerance for pain. I mean, I sat on the boat with him, you know, trying to get back to the dock that day, and you know, it was choppy.
Yeah.
We were on a speedboat racing back to the dock to get, you know, to meet the ambulance. So, you know, he's laying there and I'm just trying to talk him through breathing and focusing. And he was actually able to do that. You know, I held his face and he was not hysterical. He was able to focus on me and breathe through what was clearly incredible pain. And even when they moved him to put him onto the board to stabilize him, you know, he didn't scream. He did moan, so I can't say he made no noise, but he did. He was a champion. He did great.
Don, I think about what has been accomplished in my life with my daughter, and you know, I joke around all the time and I tell people, because my daughter did come from a broken home. We got divorced at a very young age. And I say all the time, she has two dads, you know, me and Frankie. And for you to be the kind of mother that you are and still are, I just want to thank you, because it's amazing. And you should literally pat yourself on the back. And I know you don't want it, you don't need it, but I just want to say thank you, because it shows that hard work does pay off for the kids. And I just want to say thanks.
I tell her that all the time, Johnny. She don't like hearing it.
Yeah. Well,
she's not one to take compliments.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're going to take this one, but I want to bring up, because we're literally coming up on like 5 minutes to go. And I want to get this story, talked about, because Joshua stuck up for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And you guys just got a couple paintings from somebody that your son stuck up for. Talk a little bit about what you got as a gift from somebody that that your son stuck up for.
So Saturday is when we had his birthday party, and we had invited a bunch of his friends. And it's another Joshua.
How many Joshuas do you guys have in your life? I mean, because I'm getting like all mixed up. Do you have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Well, we do call them. So Josh Spears is the only one that we call by his last name.
But he's actually J4.
But he's J4. The other J's are, you know, our Josh is Josh 1 to us because he was our first Josh. However, right, the numbers are different depending on who you talk to.
They're all number 2, right?
Yeah. Number 2 is usually the same. That's Josh Cretion. That's Josh, our son-in-law. So he's always number 2.
That's awesome.
Poor Josh gets to be number 2 all the time. But anyway, so Saturday, Josh, this is Josh Schneider. He's our Josh 3, J3, comes up to me. He had been here for a little while, you know, and then he comes up. He says, I have something for you. I'm going to take a walk out to my truck. So we walk out there and he opens the back. And he pulls out 2 paintings that are, there's like some bleach wash on it. They're canvas. It's multimedia. They're beautiful. And he proceeds to tell me the inspiration for these paintings was a conversation with our Josh, with our J1. So they were all out to dinner. It's the 3 Joshes. Paul, who also gave us the gift of more of the story. And I think a couple other people, Andrew was there. Anyway, so everybody was talking at dinner about, and I hope I have the details correct, because I'm going to give them to you as I remember them. So Paul is bisexual. The rest of them are gay, you know, just straight gay, if that's a thing. So they're talking to Paul and telling him, you know, he's not really gay. He doesn't really fit in or something like that. And our Josh was getting really upset about this. And he stood up and he said, you're wrong. You know, he was crying. He was so upset and impassioned over this. He's like, you know, who are you to tell anyone? He can love whoever he wants. just like you can, just like anybody can. You can't be hypocritical about this, you know, and it's wrong to be that way. And, you know, as Paul put it, he said a lot of things. He was much more eloquent than any of us. And I know I can just see him, because when he would get impassioned about something, he would cry, get loud, but he was still eloquent, still able to get his point across, even through the tears and the emotion. And, you know, after that, he walked out, you know, he just left the restaurant and went outside. And in Paul's words, he said, "I have never, ever in my 40 plus years, ever had anyone stand up for me like that." And this was 2 weeks before his passing. And he said, you know, I know I was just getting to know him. And, you know, 2 weeks later, he was gone. So Josh, who did the paintings, that he was the one, the number one person that Josh was correcting, actually, you know, because Paul and Josh J3 are roommates. So they're pretty close, and they, you know, can say whatever they want to each other because they're kind of like brothers. But, you know, so it was a very meaningful moment. And for Paul, when Paul saw the paintings on Saturday, he was touched. He was moved because he thought, you know, he did not know that conversation that day had meant so much to J3, to his roommate. And, you know, here he is still, through the same incident, touching, strengthening lives with love.
Yeah, I love it. And Bill, Dawn, I know that you sent something home for me through Joshua Spears. And I just want to thank you for it, because it is hanging in my man cave. And that is the picture of your son with the wings. And I just want to say thank you for that. So it's right in the center of all my stuff. And I see him every time I walk out to the man cave. So I just want to say thank you for that gift. We are coming up to literally an hour. And I want you guys to just take a minute to basically say whatever you want, to recap maybe something we didn't talk about. You guys have the next couple minutes.
So let me first start by saying, Johnny, thank you for telling us that. having an opportunity to have a forum like your podcast is very unique. And, you know, the fact that you do it for free because you want to help people shows what kind of character you have. And obviously, in that last story that Dawn was talking about, very emotional because it's fresh and raw. But, you know, she said I was stubborn. You know, he was stubborn in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was always, always trying to be the underdog and look out for those who needed somebody to look out for him. You know, that's just the kind of person he was. So that's, you know, when we talk about continuing his story through our foundation,
he was always trying to make a difference.
That's what we have to live up to. So, yeah. You know, it's a
You have both big shoes to fill, correct?
We
absolutely
do.
I love it. I love it. No, that's great. And just real quick, guys, go through the website and how they can follow you on Facebook and everything else.
Sure. Facebook, Suicide Prevention Rocks Group. Search on the group, the Joshua York Legacy Foundation on Facebook. When we switched it to the internet, we're trying to shorten the internet, the language, so it's just joshuayorkfoundation.org. If you work for the federal government, if you work for the military, please, please, please consider supporting us through United Way this year. The difference you can make in somebody's life is really incredible. You know, help spread the word, you know, through the rocks. Try it yourself if you've never had it. It's very therapeutic. You know, our 11-year-old painted like 30 rocks in 2 weeks before she went to her grandparents' house. And they're absolutely beautiful. It's just things that we do. If you know of anybody who is either getting rid of a drivable RV, or if you're out there and you work for someone who would like to donate one, we want to get to a point where we can have an RV and take Suicide Prevention Rocks on the road throughout the United States. That's one of my goals by this time next year, is to have found that right combination to make that work.
Guys, let's just talk about the Rocks. Just one more second. I just want to make sure I understand this right. Because I so first of all, where do you, like, you literally just pick up a rock, paint it, and then you leave it somewhere?
You can pick them up anywhere as long as they're not on somebody else's property.
So you can't steal them. So yeah, right. so you pick up a rock and then you literally just set it somewhere and let somebody pick it up?
Yep.
That's awesome. Okay, cool.
We usually do on the backs of ours, put like hashtag JYLF or Suicide Prevention Rocks.
Okay, cool,
Facebook,
cool.
You know, but it's not necessary. What's necessary is getting the word out, getting the message.
Spreading the positive message. Because yeah. That's the coolest thing, because you never know when you're going to touch someone's life, or when somebody just needs a smile, or someone needs that word of encouragement. I mean, we just never know. And that rock could do that.
It's a way to actually help complete strangers. You know, I think it's important, especially today, you know, to make connections with people, real connections.
Yep.
And I realize just, you know, a rock is not a, you know, a face-to-face connection, but it can be, and then the creation of them. And that's one of the things why, you know, we're talking about taking it on the road, because when we do these at events and stuff, it gets people talking. So, and the same with the school chapters, having the suicide prevention rock painting events, it gets people talking about suicide awareness and prevention, and you know, that, and bringing the education piece in, like one of the main things that I think is important to spread is the mental health first aid, because while many people are aware of suicide and, you know, would love to stop, but they don't necessarily know what to say or how to assess someone's situation and, you know, how serious they might be, you know, all of those things, you know, there is research, there is training available. And we'd like to make that accessible, the training more accessible as well.
I can't thank both of you enough. And I know Joshua Spears, do you want to have any last minute comments before we wrap things up?
Yeah, just real quick. You know, with what I do and a lot of the conversations I have with a lot of different people, I run into a lot of folks who have been through similar situations, as far as we can all say, oh, I understand, but they really don't. And I see a lot of people handle that difficult, trying, life-changing situation in so many different ways. In a lot of cases, they're bitter. A lot of cases, they're angry. And I'm sure all those emotions are things that you two have felt. But the way that you guys have taken all of that energy and you've taken it and you've formulated it into a foundation and a mission to really get the word out there about something that so many people are struggling with and they're afraid to talk about it. And because of the pain that you've gone through, but not just the pain that you've gone through, but how you've chosen to handle it, it's so inspiring. And it makes me also think of all the things that we think in our lives that are so difficult, and how much more difficult what you're going through is, and how I think anybody at any stage of life can listen to your story and be inspired, not only with suicide prevention, but with whatever they're going through in their life, because you guys have taken this very tragic thing, and it's tragic, and you have turned it into a vehicle to help millions of other people avoid that same pain. And I just want to say bravo to both of you, and I'm glad I know both of you, and I'm so inspired by the work you do, and just want to encourage you to keep it up.
That's awesome. Thank you, Joshua. Paul, you're downstairs. Do you have any last minute closing comments?
I think I really like just the open forum communication that we have with this. Just having, just by talking about this so openly, we break that stigma that society has. And I just want to say to like anybody that's listening to, like, talk about it. If you need help, be open about it. Nobody's going to shun you. Nobody's going to be that way against you for that. And reach out. We're here for you. They want to help you.
Bill, Dawn, anything before I wrap this up?
I just want to say thank you. And, you know, all the things that Josh just said about us, you know, I think they apply to all of you as well. I mean, I admire what you're doing. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak on this topic, and it's been an honor to meet you.
Do you know what's so cool, guys? And I say this with passion and enthusiasm. Your son is still changing people's lives to this day. I never met your son. I met just you guys not even a year ago, and I've never physically even met you, but I feel like I know you. I feel like I know your son. I feel like I love your son like everybody else. Your son seems like the kind of person when he was on this earth that you were an instant friend of his as soon as you met him. And I love that. And both of you are exactly why the Outstanding Life podcast exists, because you have something to say and you just want to help. And I just want to say, you know, Bill, Dawn, York, thank you so much, because you are strengthening lives with love. And thank you again just for being on the show. And I cannot wait for another 7 months to go by and you guys are on the show again. And you not only doubled, but you quadrupled and you just made this such a big deal. And I just want to say thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, I encourage everybody to reach out, because what they're doing, they are making a difference. I love you both. It has been amazing. Thank you. This is Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy, with another episode of the Outstanding Life Podcast. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that you can choose a platform to listen now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, SoundCloud, and Player FM. You can also make a donation to the podcast on my PayPal, which you can go to right at motivationalcowboy.com. And you can also now support on Patreon. Again, this is Johnny D, the Motivational Cowboy, telling all of you, be safe, have fun, and have yourselves an outstanding day. We'll see you next time on the Outstanding Life Podcast.